Right, thank you. I now call upon Lady Olga Maitland to respond to that argument.
Thank you very much indeed, Mr. Chairman, for giving me the opportunity today to come to respond to Mr. Coleman. He said many comments which give me cause for laughter when you were intentionally humorous, and you made comments which caused me anxiety for the sake of us all. First of all, may I say that I sympathise with everyone who fears the threat of a world destruction. Now, I agree with you. It is a morbid task to say, are you prepared to die without any principles? Because I think that is really what you're trying to say. You're talking about mass human wreckage, a future world war, which in fact you don't even know could happen in the way that you envisage. You talk about human resources being squandered. You talk about, should we give a sacrifice, should we sacrifice our life as the most efficient means of solving conflict? But Mr. Chairman, there is one thing that I must remind you. As a very proud member and holder of my British passport, I will say emphatically yes, I would die for Britain. And I believe all those who have died in generations behind me have felt it was worth their sacrifice. War is an emotive subject. We all know that. The question we want to ask ourselves is, why do we actually go to war? I will mention one fact which Mr. Coleman seems to have totally forgotten in his speech. He forgot to mention the fact that we, the people of Great Britain, pride ourselves on those most precious words in the English language: freedom, liberty, democracy. Britain has always been proud to defend itself. It has never opted out. You could not, in years go by, force a man to fight if he wouldn't. He could just stop. He could just lay down his gun. He may be.
Conscription.
You can have conscription, but you can't force him to throw that bullet. The fact is, throughout all the wars throughout history, in Britain, we have defended ourselves as a nation. All types, all social classes. And I may say, may I remind you, Mr. Coleman, I am a member of the working class because I have a salary job like other people. All types. All economic conditions. Soldiers and officers go to war. They don't ask each other which party do they support in the ballot box. They go to war because of what they really care about is their freedom of their country. And their country has been intimidated and is in danger of being overrun. I agree with you that wars start really for the reasons of power. And that is human nature. It happens with animals. An animal in the jungle will kill another animal.
You are animals, we're not.
Wars happen because people, as in fact even Mr. Coleman suggested, mentioned, they scrabble for mineral resources, trade routes. They also seek to press their own cultures and their own philosophical doctrinations. Communism is the problem that we face today. And the great threat to us, as we stand in this room, is that we face a very tense time in 1984. We have the world leaders in Stockholm arguing a war of words. And let us hope and pray that restraint by deterrent will control things until we can really bring true reason. But the fact is, we have a very strong potential enemy, and that is the Soviets, with their expansionist philosophy. And we have to face the fact that unless we show we have a moral fiber and a willingness to defend ourselves, there will not be this great country of Great Britain. And I stress the word Great Britain. If we don't show we have this resolution, we don't show strength, they will impose upon us the same kind of treatment they've imposed upon those people of Afghanistan. Gassed, weak and helpless, aeroplanes flying over their heads daily, strapping villagers who don't even have a gun between three or four people. In fact, the Soviet Union has spread their own philosophies, their own manpower, their own resources, personnel, equipment, into 56 different countries in the world. Many countries have been totally unwilling recipients of Soviet invasion. I name, of course, those who have been now incorporated into the Warsaw Pact: Hungary, Czechoslovakia, and Poland, which we see regularly on television, people fighting for freedom. That, Mr. Kuhlman, is what we treasure. And for those who have lost freedom, know how precious it is. And Britain is a country which must show that we have the resolution to defend ourselves, because we are a vital piece of real estate in Europe. We are the cornerstone of NATO. And if we're not careful, the communists, through using subversive measures in our countries, in the West, in Britain, could take us over through perfectly lawful means without firing a bullet, because the peace movements are aiding and abetting their methods. And I will say that the peace movements may be noisy, they may go in for unlawful protests, but they do not represent the vast majority of the electorate in this country, and they have failed to express themselves and win people over at the general election, when people are able to show their feelings in the ballot box. But we do now today, nearly a year onwards from that election, face the fear that there is a moral war upon us. Because although we have a strong defence, there are many people who are trying to destroy us by moral disarray, by trading on fear, ignorance, inaccurate information, and of course the statement, as we all know, about cruise being described as a first strike missile is such unutterable nonsense that I think that they are CND are criminal in even mentioning it. The appeasers in this country are the ones who could create a war, who could, at the end of the day, rend us open and weak to the world destruction which Mr. Kuhlman fears. Because they could give a potential enemy, the Soviets, who have a power and a strength and a determination. They have a conventional strength, a nuclear strength far superior to ours. They could give them the temptation to try their luck. The question is, we have to show them that not only do we have the military defences in the West at a credible minimum level, but we also have the moral resolution, the moral fibre. And I think we need to go back in history to the time when that famous debate took place in Oxford, at the Oxford Union, the King and Country debate, followed a time of the First World War when almost a complete generation of men were wiped out in a tragedy. They did not die in vain. They died for freedom. But of course, Many people were concerned how to prevent such a tragedy happening again, and the intellectuals arose in the 1920s. Like the appeasers in CND, like Bruce Kent, who only day before yesterday in Edinburgh told me in a debate that he was quite honestly a pacifist. I say a horror because that means you are prepared to sacrifice your liberty and your freedom. And during this is a very dangerous period, because if you follow that line of thinking, you're following the line of thinking that took place at the time of the debate of King and Country, when many people felt, let us put our trust in the League of Nations. Let us support an international boundaries which could give way to a perfect world. But it failed because of human nature. Human nature has evil stains in it as well as it has many good, much good in it. And it was because that Hitler saw Britain lost its moral fibre, that he was tempted, and he attacked. And we were weak, we were vulnerable. But where he miscalculated is that Britain rallied, and we would fight to the bitter end. And I will say to you today that all you appeasers in this room, should your country be genuinely threatened and you would lose your homes, your freedoms, your children would be threatened. I believe that despite the blackmail damage caused by the CND's campaign of terror, fear, offering easy, slick solutions which can only benefit the Soviets, I believe that the people of this country would once again rise up and fight side by side, as they have done for hundreds of years. I do feel very powerfully that you must never underestimate the British Tommy Grit. Again, to make yourself a bit clearer. But the real question is not to laugh about these matters, but to realize what you would lose if you actually were taken over. We have sufficient deterrence here in the West, nuclear and conventional, which we seek all the time to reduce to the lowest, most possible level. I support Mr. Coleman. If only it would be possible, in an ideal world, to get rid of every single weapon in the world, right the way down to a hammer. We can't. We cannot, because there are other people who would never follow suit. It would be one-sided disarmament, whether you follow the line of one-sided disarmament on nuclear weapons or in any other way. We must maintain our strength. We must keep up these deterrents, despite the pressures put upon the governments by naive and politically minded people who are seeking to destroy us. Yes, people have died in wars. I agree with you. People have suffered tortures to ensure a free world for children. But this is an evil world. There is no safety for you to just say, lay down your arms. You would not be able to live the life that you wish to live today. It would not be available to you. And I want to warn you, you mustn't fall for the nuclear blackmail that is facing us in the Western world today. It is blackmail, which is what they're trying to do. Even over the Christmas period time, a time of peace and goodwill, the Soviets were deploying more SS-20s. Just think what you would lose if, in fact, you laid down your arms. You would lose the freedoms, and I want you to cast your mind over to perhaps the most vivid symbol in Europe today, which is the Berlin Wall. Why is it that 1,200 people made the effort and risked their lives to get over that wall from the east to the west in 1 year alone? And can you count how many people have voluntarily gone the other way to risk and live a life under totalitarian oppression? Who wants that kind of life? People try desperately to get away to freedom. And when I talk to someone who's like a Czech dissident, like Josef Josten, who has suffered so much, and he says, you can never know the meaning of freedom until you have lost it. And I think of people like Bukowski, who have suffered so much, and Sharensky, who is suffering now so much. This is oppression in Russia. This is not what we in Britain want to tolerate in our country. And I want to remind you another thing. Mr. Coleman referred to my name, Olga. It is not a whim of my parents that I was baptized such. My mother is Yugoslav. She has seen her country being taken over by communism. She has seen her family lose their freedoms, their homes, their jobs, because they don't fall in with a totalitarian oppression. And just think what loss of freedoms mean. The loss of freedom means that you cannot choose where you live, how you live, where you work, where you move to. You would have no intellectual freedom. You would have censorship in the press. A press, as a journalist, there is no censorship. And in any case, as a journalist who is often on the other side of the blanket when it comes to being reported upon, I would say that the press is very largely supervised by the left wing in this country. But it's still a press and a free press. And I think that we all...
Look, can I don't want to interrupt the flow of the arguments of one of the speakers, but you won't refute the arguments by interrupting now. I've said that there'll be ample opportunity for anyone who wants to stand up and address the meeting on any of the points. But you won't do justice to your case by interrupting at this stage, so we'll just wait for the ample opportunity that I shall provide later. Right.
Mr. Chairman, these are the reasons why we want to preserve our liberty, our democracy to vote governments in and out. They can't do that behind the iron curtain. They have one candidate in an election, not a variety, nor even candidates for the great Socialist Party of Great Britain. There is no choice. We have that in this country. You can vote any government in or out. It is a great privilege. This is why Britain is worth dying for. And I will maintain that it is always be considered that. And we will never give in to the appeasers who are trying to cause the moral disarray in our society. Our country, from the north of Scotland down to the Channel Islands, is covered with war memorials. For reason that those men died to give us the freedom which we enjoy today, the freedom for you to come here today to listen and to even to protest. The last year, in November, I attended the cenotaph ceremony in Whitehall. It was the largest in years. The people who turned up there stretched from Trafalgar Square to Parliament Square. I wonder why. It wasn't exactly an easy day to come out. It was bitterly cold. They came to remember and to remind themselves why people died for us and to ensure that they did not die in vain. Women and Families for Defence are standing up to you appeasers. We will not allow you to get away with it. Last Easter, tulips were laid on war memorials throughout the country as a very private gesture by the great silent majority to show that Britain is worth dying for, that they have not died in vain, and we care about our liberty, and we will do it again this Easter, and it won't just be restrained to Britain, it will be throughout Europe that the war memorials will be covered in flowers. 1984 is a year of international tension, But we will not give up our own ideals, and we will not allow them to slip away by default, because Britain will never let go of what it has always stood for. We will always fight to the bitter end. Britain, with its great history, its identity, its pride in liberty, freedom and democracy, Mr. Chairman, is well worth fighting for. Thank you.